Episode 103. Did you like that? 103. I say it like I'm Scottish. Episode 103 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by Crafty Flutterby Creations. Please visit craftyflutterbycreations.com and use the coupon code OutlanderCast for 15% off your next purchase.
Jimmy, I have an obligation to help. I swore an oath when I became a doctor.
I've taken an oath now and then myself. None of them lately. There's no talking you out of this, is there, Sassenach?
It seems you are both older and wiser.
I won't take my eyes off that ship until you return.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. You hear that? Y'all hear that? What's that about? What is that about? What's going on with these drums? What's going on? I love it! Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm totally digging our new theme song.
Yep, I'm there, too.
I gotta admit, I'm a little upset that the bagpipe. I kept the bagpipe in there in the beginning because, you know, that's just, we have to keep it in there. But,
yes.
You know, for the most part now, it has been gone for this season. And
that you know of.
That I know of. And, you know, I'm a little sad that it's gone. But I will say, I'm kind of into this new theme song. I'm really into all the new imagery.
Oh, we need to break that down.
That imagery was gorgeous. And not only was it gorgeous, it was evocative.
Is that going to be a Blake Larson blog post?
It might. It might be. You never know.
I think I'm deciding that it should be. You're welcome. It's good to be a founder sometimes.
It's evocative of the previous title cards, but also giving new light and giving you new imagery for what's obviously about to come. And it also kind of mirrors... And I said it was evocative, but it also mirrors previous things too. And my favorite shot is of the ship, that final moment,
yeah,
of the titles as the ship is going off into the sea. It's this lone little bit, and of course it mirrors that shot of Jamie and Claire riding in the Scottish Highlands.
See, and I like the shot right before that one with
right.
It's Claire sitting on what looks to be like a beach, and she's just staring longingly off at the water, because that mirrors the shot that we've been having of Jamie doing the same thing,
right,
but standing on grass.
So I thought that the whole beginning is fantastic. And
the new beginning gets a five. Five kilts.
Oh, five kilts all
five
the way.
Five kilts.
I will say, too, that... when they changed the theme for season two, when they did France,
Jean Del Soir,
Défile à l'Étoile, you know?
Yeah, you
yeah.
know.
You oh,
know.
Yeah, sorry.
Commandment Y'all be singing along.
Commandment number five, I'm not supposed to sing, sorry.
Can you all tell that I'm getting a cold?
I know.
I think I've just realized I'm getting a cold.
You're definitely getting a cold.
Oh, jeez.
So I wasn't a big fan when they changed it for France. And I wasn't a big fan of when they changed the music. I like having a single theme. I like having single imagery.
I'm all about the change.
But then I've realized I kind of like it.
Right?
I've come around on it. And it's not something that is new to Ron Moore, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Moore totally changed up the credits and the title cards to one show that we all know as BSG.
So say we all.
He did that for almost every episode.
Oh, cool.
As a matter of fact, in, you know, for those of you who have watched it, you know the whole, you know the whole stick.
No, I really like it. And, you know, Game of Thrones, for example, they switch up their title cards depending upon what scenes you're going to be seeing, but they don't change the music. And this is something that I feel like is really neat, really unique, that they're keeping the essence of the Skyboat song, but changing it now based upon the locales of where...
Giving it a different variation.
Yeah, I love it. I cannot get enough of it. Bear McCreary was all up on this episode.
And it keeps...
All over it.
It keeps the title cards fresh. It keeps the title cards... It makes you not only want to watch it, but need to watch it.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's not just the stale imagery every single time.
All right. So what was your kilt rating for this episode?
I have really battled with this one.
Okay.
I've really battled with it.
It is a...
It's not Of Lost Things and it's not Creme de Menthe.
Okay.
It's above that. Oh, I would say I'm going to give it a 4.
Nice. All right. And I gave it a 4.5.
Right.
Which is pretty much the equivalent to your 4.
Actually, yeah, you're probably right.
I know. I'm always inflated. So, okay, let's break this down. What was your GBG? Why was, you know, like, let's explain why it was a 4. What was your good for this episode?
All right. My good was David Moore. Do you want to know who David Moore is?
Is it Ron's brother?
No, no relation.
His
was
cousin?
He was the director of this episode.
Roommate in college?
At least an acquaintance.
Maybe blood brother.
I really appreciated the job that David Moore did with this, given the material that he had. But more specifically, I really got a sense of what it was like to be on this ship, both geographically and tonally.
Us tall people do not belong on ships
like
that.
No, we do not. I'm 6'4", and I would have to be on my knees. Every single moment.
You would be tied even to the outside. Bow, bearing your breast.
Yeah, that'd be me.
To calm the seas.
With my man boobs flopping in the wind.
The captain would be eating. Oh, don't worry, Claire. You and Marsley are all set. Blake's tied to the bow.
Blake's got this one held down for you. Don't worry about it.
He was too tall for below, so we just strung him to the front and gave him a different job.
So I really appreciated it, and I loved the claustrophobic feel
of
it. And I really feel like David Moore captured that. My bad was this really awkward exposition dump.
Ooh, tell me
in
which
the beginning
one.
Of the episode.
Yeah.
People
might have missed it at first because they threw it in the beginning. Kind of like hoped, like, oh, hope you don't notice. There's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of people getting ready for a boat.
Right.
And we're just going to throw this in here. And then we're going to start an adventure.
Well, it was really
tell
funny.
Tell me what.
It was really funny because there was this great moment. And I think this was kind of overlooked too. When Jamie says to Claire, listen, you're supposed to be with me, but you know what? If you don't want to be with me, I'll take you to the Stones right now. It's okay. It'll be fine.
It's your get out of jail free card, Claire.
And I liked this moment, but then it was followed up by this exposition dump where it was like, Claire says in the most awkward way possible, and not Kat's acting, but just the writing itself, which is like, so about Ian and Jenny, what are we going to tell them?
Yeah.
And they think we're on the way to France, right?
To go exchange those gems for money.
And Jamie says, "Yeah. Well, I wrote them a letter and I explained everything to them." And I was
explained
like,
it all. And then they just keep walking and
they just kept going.
That's it.
It was such a awkward way to catch the audience up to the story and catch everything up to where they are. And another thing I was confused about is Jared being present.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're in France? Because Jared's in France. Or is Jared in Scotland? Did Jared come over from France to Scotland?
You know those friends that are everywhere and you're like, where have you been? And they're
Yes, we have those friends.
I've been here, I've been there, I've been everywhere. I feel like that's Jared. He's just like, whatever, man.
Just whatevs.
I was in Arizona. I was just checking things out there. Hung out in Italy for a little bit. Got some great wine.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So then my great was the conversation about Brie.
Yes.
That conversation was phenomenal. And the part that I really loved was at the final bit when Claire says she loved rabbits.
Yep. Yep.
Like,
made you want to cry.
Real good character. Like, has no business being in this episode. None.
And yet it totally does.
But it totally fits, and it needs to be there.
That's the kind of conversation you'd be having on a boat while you're stuck there for so long.
And, right.
Oh, God, I agree. I loved that, and once I saw that you put that there, I took it out of my GPJ.
Well, what do you got?
My good. Bye-bye, Miss Clara. You're gone. How many episodes did it take? One, two, three?
Three, really, yeah.
This is the third. Okay, so that's all it took. Weeks after she says that weeks have gone by of them just staying still on the boat. P.S. Mind you, this is not Royal Caribbean.
Not just weeks, BT Dubs. Like a number of probably months at the sea.
Anyway, Clairol is gone officially. Yes. And I love how beautiful and natural, in my opinion, the gray looked. Mm-hmm. And how also Jamie talked about it. She was not kidding. Had he spoken like that in our century, in our time frame, oof, watch out. All the silver foxes coming out. Okay, so my bad. I would agree about the letter to Jenny. And once you really started to talk about that, I was like, you know, this whole season is not going to make sense to me because Jenny Murray would have found the fastest ship known to man, would have already found Ian and would have had him home, giving him a spanking that he should have had a few episodes ago, and he probably would have been spanked so badly he wouldn't have gone on this journey anyway. Yeah, once you said that, I was like, no, Jamie, did you learn nothing? You don't write your sister this letter. I mean, I guess he does, but I wish he had said it like, I wrote her a letter because she's going to spank me.
Exactly.
You know, like, I wish he had said, like, I wrote a letter because, oh my gosh, if we don't come back with wee Ian, we're both in trouble. Anyway, but my bad I chose. It was during that same conversation about Bree. I loved the part about the goodnight moon and the bunnies and all that kind of stuff, the rabbits. Except Claire's up there, like they're looking at it, and she goes, you know, right when I left, someone actually walked on the moon. And Jamie goes, oh.
Oh, okay.
Watch his face. You guys know I love to pull out these little moments like the Adam's apple or like him hiding from the soldiers when he's walking by the print shop. Just watch his face. It's kind of like, it's like, I had a potato for dinner. Oh. Okay. All right. Like, what? Are you kidding me? Whatever? Like, someone walked on the moon.
Right.
Are you kidding? Okay. Anyway, that was my bad.
It's even hard for people to believe now. Like, some people think that they faked the moon landing.
Exactly. And Jamie's literally like,
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Like, where is your... What, Jamie? Come on.
He would be like, is somebody walking the moon?
I just wanted him to have eyes that were like, what? Like a meme. Like something meme-worthy. You know what I mean? It is not a meme-worthy moment. And then my great is the romance.
Yes.
So you just really felt the connection between these two characters. Of course, they had that really hot sex scene when she was getting all sweaty. I can't hold on. Your head's all sweaty.
You're a wizard, Harry.
P.S. She was like, I'm melting. And he's like, I'm melting with you. And then they're, you know, post-sex cuddling, why do they still have all those layers of clothes on? If you're so hot and you don't care that people know you have sex, take off a couple of your skirts.
Just a couple.
Just get in your nightgown. Come on, what's going on? But the romance, not only that, but just the little tender touches that they had, even on boats, and how they looked at each other. And I mean, these two actors, their eye sex is out of control in this episode.
Oh my goodness.
The looks they give each other, even when they're not looking at each other's eyes, like Jamie will look at Claire when Claire's looking away, and then Claire will look at Jamie and he's doing something, and I'm like, these people just want to bone all day, every day. They are so in love, and they want to, good for them.
The characters, so not the actors.
Yeah, that's yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. So great was the romance in every single way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. The spoken, the unspoken, all that. Okay, the listeners sent in their feedback. Vicky Johnson says, you could almost feel the salt spray in your face. Congratulations to the cast and crew and writers for such an adventurous installment. She gives this episode a 4.8 in her kilt rating and her GBG. The good from Vicky is seeing the spunkiness of Fergus and Marsley together. Loved the microhead shake that Fergus gave Jamie when he denied that Marsley said about them having slept together. A very nice touch from Caesar. The pair of them are like stubborn miniature Claire and Jamie. Also, the new title song treatment of many of us were hoping that came true. The clips were great. The rhythm and the new score was awesome. And if we had to give up bagpipes, at least we have something we can still dance to. So many thanks to Bear, says Vicky. Now, Vicky's bad. As in perfectly disgusting is the total believable and disquieting sound of bodily fluids hitting the decks. Kudos to the Foley artists. Anybody who has ever sympathized with an elementary school janitor would turn green simply imagining the sight and odor below decks. I'm very glad we don't have a smell-o-vision. Oh my goodness, right? And the great is the moonlight time with Jamie and Claire. Loved the King of Men Easter egg too. I agree. That was really great, Vicky. She's sure the goodnight moon reference was an affecting and sweet heart tug to many parents like her. In addition, the thought of the life story of Yi Tin Chow was wonderfully presented by Gary Young. Parting thought, she guesses that Miss Clairol is no match for the doldrums. And you know what, Vicky? I agree. Farewell, Clairol.
Lisa Ann Margulies says, I'll give this episode 4.3 kilts. Better for me than 307, but still choppy and full of disconnect. Very plot-driven and rather slow in delivery, hence the doldrums, I guess. Good was Marcelly. She has a spunk and feistiness that is fun to watch. Her eye rolls and blunt talk with Claire and Jamie made me chuckle, and the chemistry and relationship with Fergus shows promise. The bad, plot-driven content. So many elements written in just to move the story. Jared's brief dockside exchange seemed there to sum up what had already been learned. Not very personal. The same with Claire's voiceover. It was perfunctory at best.
We were there. Not moving for weeks.
Well, obviously, you know, like, look at it. I would agree with this. Also, we appreciate Leslie Hayes and Willoughby, but why are they chosen? Why are they the chosen few? I'm not fully vested in their purpose and value to Jamie. The Hayes and Willoughby storylines filled a lot of time on the ship. Mm-hmm. And also the transport and appearance of the clothing trunk was very convenient. Mm-hmm. And my last bad is, why is Claire still not fully committed when in conversation with Jamie? This thread doesn't seem to be wrapping up.
I will tell you the Leslie Hayes bit, I was kind of like, I'm over this. You are not Rupert and Angus. But well, Willoughby, I liked Willoughby this episode.
Well, I have some thoughts on this. I'll get into that.
What was Lisa's great?
The great was the tone. A more hopeful atmosphere began with the instrumental changes in the intro. Love that Bear Flair. Even though the mission to find Ian is a heavyweight to the
hashtag
loss.
Bear Flair.
Hashtag Bear Flair.
Can we
like
please
it.
Start that, guys?
Yes. Hashtag Bear Flair.
You know, back at season one, we started Sassenach Wasted.
This
we got a new one.
Bear Flair.
Hashtag Bear Flair.
Thank you, Lisa. Where's that? Oh, the loss and suffering of the past 20 years seems to be cast off in this episode, with the exception of Claire's non-committal. This show is much more in the present now, and the oppressive atmosphere of the ship and the sickness were well conveyed. Much relief provided by one-liners, too, and several witticisms thrown in, and I loved the joint, what? From Claire and Marcelly. Intimacy scenes with Jamie and Claire were great too. Overall, a more promising and upbeat direction for the season. And Dolores Reed Little. Dolores, my girl, she chimes in. You want to know what she said? She says, The Doldrums. A perfect title for the most boring episode of Outlander ever.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It gets better. It gets better.
Oh, no.
Even worse than The Search. Kilt rating 1.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Good. The good was the new clips and the music in the opening credits and the music during the closing credits.
Hashtag still, Bear Flair.
Still missed the bagpipes, though. Hashtag Bear Flair. The bad, so much in this episode that was not in the book. Touching the horseshoe, Claire's dinner with the ship's captain, the whole Jinx business, no wind, etc. Yes, Blake, I know the third commandment, the book and the show are two different entities, but I saw nothing positive in the deviations of this episode. And the great was Mr. Willoughby's speech and the fact that he was ready to tell his story and then let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
And there was one other thing here I wanted to put in here too. Holly, our amazing staff writer on the Outlander Cast blog, she chimed in and she mentioned something that I thought was very important to say. Holly is a screenwriter by trade. She is a professional screenwriter. And she had this to say about this episode. I didn't get pulled out of this episode once. In fact, I watched it twice in pacing. True characterization of everyone, the plot points, clear three-act structure, the dialogue. I think she, the writer, did well to fill it. She had departure beginning and a cliffhanger end, and all that goes in there. We needed the Willoughby monologue for many reasons, mm-hmm. including a prelude for later. I loved it. I felt entertained, very much like what should have occurred in episode 7 with Claire as a doctor and the fire in the print shop. This is an action episode and remained true to the characters, so that is why I loved this episode. It accomplished what 7 did not. 7 being creme de menthe.
Yes.
So I thought that was important because she is professional. She actually knows what she's talking about, unlike a jabroni like me, because what the hell do I know? I'm just that guy. Well, this episode was entitled The Doldrums, as we have noted. It was written by Shannon Goss, who is actually a supervising producer on this show and one of the new writers that was brought in by Ron and co. to fill out the writer's room for the beginning of season 3. She, like Karen Campbell, like who we talked about a few episodes ago, she is a supervising producer. And this is her only episode that she has written for Outlander so far. She has written on the likes of shows like Rain and Revenge, Harry's Law, the one with Kathy Bates there, mm-hmm. and ER as well. And also, a fun fact, this episode, she was nominated for a Woman's Image Award for Best Film or Show Written by a Woman. And would you care to know one of the other nominees for the Women's Image Award?
Yes.
Anne Kenny for the episode Surrender, episode 302, which I would agree makes a lot of sense. Directed by David Moore, this is his only episode of Outlander. He's an English director, a lot of English TV, not a lot that we would know here in the U.S., but he has directed for shows like Jericho, mm-hmm. Indian Summers, Shetland, and that show Merlin that came out not too long ago. The DP, not friend of the show, Steve McNutt. By the way, go to episode 95, listen to his interview with him. This was by Michael Swan, who will have two more episodes, including the finale, by the way. He is known for his DP work on Black Sails, another Starz production. And he has actually done second unit directory photography work for movies like The Giver, the one with Jeff Bridges that just came out recently, mm-hmm. Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And Invictus, the one with Matt Damon when he plays the South African rugby player. And I know all you nerds out there want to know what a second unit director of photography is.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the second unit on any film or mm-hmm. or television show, the second unit of a film is a crew that is responsible for shooting supplementary footage, which means like establishing shots, stunts, inserts, and cutaways. This particular crew is actually separate from the first unit, which is the team that films the scenes with the leading cast. Mm-hmm. So that's what a second DP, like a second unit DP does. And he has done a lot of that work for these big famous movies. So that is that.
Awesome. You got this.
My darling, where do you want to begin with this?
Oh, let's see. I took some good notes.
You know, I'll
You want to? You go for it.
Well, no. I mean,
I'm pulling it up on my phone.
I enjoyed this episode. I felt that the beginning was excellent.
Okay.
I would even say it was excellent through about halfway.
Oh, okay.
Of course, without the whole exposition dump at the beginning.
Yeah, that quick little thing we're just going to ignore.
I did not like that. I thought that was very poorly executed and poorly written. But whatever. I thought it was all great. I thought we got great introductions to characters that we've already met, Hayes and Leslie, those two guys. They went back. I was happy about that. I was happy with the Mr. Willoughby stuff. I loved the
Mr. Willoughby stuff. I'm surprised.
I loved the acupuncture stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought it was. They had some great moments between Jamie and Claire with the green tea.
How'd you feel about those acupuncture moments?
I'm all about the acupuncture life.
For those of you who don't know, we're an acupuncture family.
Oh yes,
we love our punks, our acupunks.
They're great. And I was one of those guys that made fun of acupuncture for so long.
Yes, you did.
And I hurt my knee really bad. My wife was like, "Just try it, will you? What do you got
this
to lose?"
Tea and
yeah, have some incense. Let's get a diffuser.
No, I don't do incense, but I do get diffusers.
And she's like, "Try the acupuncture. It's gonna." And that lady, the acupunk, put the freaking needle in my knee, and boom. Pain healed forever.
However, our needles do not look like the ones that were in Jamie's face.
No, they do not.
I had an issue with the scene. Okay, first off, ouch, how did they do that? All the makeup, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But if you have ever had acupuncture done in your face, I get it done because I have allergies. You don't want to move a muscle. You don't even want to talk. You don't even want to breathe. Because mm-hmm. when you do, those needles move around. Jamie's chatting with Claire, kissing Claire, laughing with Claire, chilling on out, talking to everybody. And I was like, oh my God, how is he doing this? How is he doing this without flinching? So painful. But I love that they were able to work that in. And I love that he was keeping it a secret from Claire because he was nervous that they were already on thin ice. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want her feelings to be hurt that her tea wasn't doing it. And how sweet was she when she responded? She was like, I've been making you tea twice a day for weeks. For weeks, buddy.
She's looking at him like, you're such an idiot. Like, why would I get hurt about that? That's
right?
So stupid.
Right.
But coming from a guy who has been in fights with his wife and doesn't want to rock the boat.
Not fights.
You know what I mean. Just tiffs. Okay,
there
can we say tiffs?
That's a better word.
Coming from a guy who's been in tiffs with his wife.
Okay.
Don't want to rock the boat. Don't want to make things worse. Mm-hmm. I understand the logic. Like, I can't have one more thing to say, oh, Claire, you shouldn't be here. I understand the logic, and that unease, mm-hmm. that feeling still lives between Claire and Jamie, which is something that I feel like the story needs, because in the last episode, we leave this major cliffhanger, both Ian getting taken away, and also Jamie and Claire saying to Jamie, hey, BT Dubs, I don't think we should be together anymore. And then this whole episode, the whole beginning, just sweeps it under the rug.
Yeah.
Just, oh, all that matters now is Ian. Let's go get him. Oh, I love you. Like, where are the repercussions? Where's the conversations? Like, and this is a good indication of, I feel, what this relationship needs. And even though it kind of keeps going back to this unease, I think it's a natural progression. What do you think, my love?
I think these two people, they got on the wrong boat. They were supposed to be going on a carnival cruise. They're supposed to be having some Jim Rickies in their hand. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what those things were called? Jim Rickies?
Not Jim Rickies, no.
What are they?
Lime, raspberry Rickies?
I have no idea. I drank them all when I went on a boat.
Sex on the beach.
These people, this couple, they needed a little bit of R&R.
Banana daiquiri?
Right. Ooh, that sounds disgusting. That sounds disgusting. I was ready for, you know, just while we're speaking about alcohol.
Shirley Temple.
I was ready for Blackjack Sparrow. So you know when they're downstairs and there's all those barrels and there's the rats with the barrels and they're like, don't drink it, it's bilge water. And the captain's like, I was ready for Blackjack Sparrow.
Blackjack Sparrow?
To peek around. Oh my God. Wow, do you like that? Can you imagine Tobias Menzies coming around dressed up as Jack Sparrow,
with the eyeliner,
all the eyeliner, and saying, what about the rum? Is the rum gone?
Yes, but why the rum?
Oh, I was just ready for someone to be like, is the ale okay? Black Jack Sparrow. I can't believe I just did that.
Oh, that was funny.
Thank you.
I let it go the first time you said it.
No. Nope.
But then you repeated it, and I was like, no, I can't.
Because it's so ingrained in my mind.
Can't
to
let
say
this
Black
one
Jack.
Go.
Jeez Louise. So Yes. The romance was great. Helped balance everything out. They do need to have these conversations. This poor couple just keeps getting thrown in situation after situation. But luckily, they're stuck on a boat that is not moving forever together.
Right. And
the only song the sailors know is about a lobster clamping onto a woman's...
hoo-ha.
That's right. Apricot. Peach. I don't even know.
You know, I loved...
Pineapple.
You're just going to start naming grapes.
Guava? Guava? Not grapes. Grapes would be weird.
How about quinoa?
If you had grapes, that'd be a different story.
I love...
quinoa.
I loved the atmosphere of this episode, especially in the beginning. A lot of people didn't like all the stuff with the luck and the horseshoe. And
oh, I did.
See, I thought it was great because it gave me a real sense of what it's like to be on a ship of this kind.
I liked it because Claire, who just traveled back through the stones, which people think is a myth, mm-hmm. which people think is just silly fairy talk. Okay, Claire, once again, you do magical things. Right. Why you be hating on magical things, Claire?
And she's like, I don't know how Scotland has survived all these centuries.
You silly fools. While people are walking on the moon and traveling through time, you silly fools.
You touch a horseshoe. You're so stupid.
But yet I took a total little gemstone with me and magically transported 200 years into... Like, I sat there and I was like, girlfriend, you do not have the right to question. You don't. But on the flip side, it was fun.
Just want to be like, calm down.
Claire is just so confident sitting there talking to that captain and them going back and forth with their Shakespeare.
I know.
And eating whatever that food was.
From Hamlet, by the way. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. They were quoting Hamlet both times.
I liked this captain.
I kind of liked him too. And I liked him because he was real. He's like, listen, this isn't the military. I can't go flogging these jabronis mm-hmm. if they don't listen to me. I have to facilitate this. I have to make them believe. Just because I don't believe it doesn't mean that they don't. Mm-hmm. And just because it may not be real to you doesn't mean that it isn't on this ship.
Yep.
The dinner with the captain gave me, again, a real sense of the people that are populating this ship. The people that Jamie and Claire find themselves among whom they find themselves, rather. You need to have that bit. You have to understand the dynamics of this ship. And if you're going to be spending that much time with them...
Sad that she's not anymore.
I know, that's true. Well, but before I go, the term Jonah, I looked it up.
I actually talked to my mom about Jonah today.
Jonah is a long-established expression among sailors using the term a Jonah to mean a sailor or a passenger whose presence on board brings bad luck and endangers the ship. Later, of course, the meaning was extended to mean a person who carries a jinx or one who will bring bad luck to any enterprise. And the person, that Jonah, was actually named after Jonah from the Bible.
That's what we were talking about.
He is the eponymous central figure to the book of Jonah, in which he is called upon by Yahweh, otherwise known as God or whatever, to travel to Nineveh, whatever, and warn its residents to repent of their sins or face the divine wrath. But instead, Jonah boards a ship to Tarshish. Caught in a storm, he orders his shipmates to cast him overboard, whereupon he's swallowed by a giant fish. And 3 days later, after Jonah agrees to go to Nineveh, sure, you know what? I'll just take that. The fish vomits him out onto the shore.
It looks like Nivea, like that skincare commercial.
Yes, it kind of does.
This is literally what my mom and I talked about today.
It looks like Nineveh.
Is about Jonah being swallowed by a whale.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You wish you were in on that conversation.
Oh, definitely. can't believe I missed it.
The interestings that I got from my mom were like no other.
Can I just say this too? Like, I love how interesting has become a thing on this podcast, and I'm very happy about it. And it all stems from your mother.
Yeah.
And it stems from the fact that was something your mother says when she dislikes something.
Oh, yeah. Like if I... you know, dyed my hair purple like I did last year.
Your mother's response would be,
interesting. Or, you know, if I said, Mom, guess what? I think I want to be a music education major. Interesting. So interesting has been around since the 90s, guys. Since the 90s.
Yeah.
So another thing we need to talk about is Mr. Willoughby.
Right.
I loved Mr. Willoughby this entire episode. I also have braid envy. That's what I want my hair to look like in about 15 years. I just want it to be long and have gray and just a beautiful, perfect braid, except mine is frizzy like Claire's. So that's not going to happen. But nonetheless, his painting that poetry and watching it fade away.
Gorgeous.
You don't need a voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need any of that. Him telling his story so poetically, letting go of the papers, having the papers, doing the acupuncture. I am just all about this character, and I did not expect to feel this way about him.
No, neither did I. I really loved him doing the poetry, like you said, my darling, and then watching it disappear. I loved his telling Claire, listen, I have a story, and if I have to tell it, then I have to let it go. And, you know, obviously it
can't hold it back anymore.
Foreshadows about what's to come, obviously. And I loved Mr. Willoughby with the acupuncture thing, like we already talked about. I will say that this episode kind of lost me a little bit when the whole Jonah thing started. Like, mm-hmm. And we had Hayes was his name? Hayes.
Yes.
Hayes was up on the thing and I'm going to kill myself. It felt forced. It didn't feel natural.
I kind of felt like that's what happens. I feel like if I let 40 men hang out by themselves in a fraternity house with ale,
yeah.
That someone would go up on top of the roof. I can't take it. You know, like someone gets dramatic, just like there's always that drunk girl at the party who cries. There's always some drunk guy who's like being dramatic and I'm going to start a fight or I'm that, you know,
yes.
this stuff happens.
It does.
They were stuck out there for weeks. Was it not the most exciting thing for us because we don't care about Hayes at all?
Well, and that's my, I guess my ultimate point. It's like it just serves as a vehicle for Jamie to be the hero. Like, oh, I'm going to go up there.
I saw it as Mr. Willoughby being the hero.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at first, I mean like it serves as a vehicle for Jamie because Jamie is the one that has to go up there. It has to take him and he starts to fall and Jamie catches him and he starts swinging.
Your hands all sweaty.
Oh.
You're a wizard.
I really was ready for him, for Jamie to be like, hold on.
It didn't feel natural to me. Like, you could have accomplished the same exact thing without all the histrionics of him going up there and the swinging and all that. You could have accomplished the same exact thing. And then, even more so, it was a vehicle for Mr. Willoughby to eventually tell his story. The first viewing I had of this part, I was like, what are we doing here? This is forced. It's like, it's just horseshoeing itself right into the story. So we kind of get some kind of background on Mr. Willoughby, but it feels like exposition just for the sake of it. But the second time I did it, the second time I watched it, I felt a lot better about mm-hmm. it until he started talking about apricots and mounds and breasts.
Why?
And tastes.
Why?
And
I thought that was beautiful. Did you see all those sailors be like, this guy should be writing the new songs, not the lobster guy.
Tell me, I want to savor every detail.
Oh my! Seriously, you listen to how the guys are singing about a woman getting her hoo-ha snapped by a lobster, and then you've got this guy talking about apricots.
I don't know. It kind of lost me there, but I did like the imagery of him letting go of his story, taking it to the wind and noticing that the bird is flying mm-hmm. low because the air is heavy and it's going to rain, which I have an outlandish theory about, by the way. And, you know, if the bird was higher, the air is lighter, so it's no rain. So he knew, and he's writing the poems and you see the poem disappear with all the rain. It just beautiful stuff. I the second time around, I liked it a lot better. I became a little bit more comfortable with this process. And the thing I liked, and I want to get your opinion on this, it feels like Mr. Willoughby is kind of speaking for Claire a little bit, or it's mirroring Claire. You know, he's talking about going and giving up everything for the sake of a woman or women in general.
Loved it.
And he wonders if he made a mistake and is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing can be said of Claire.
Yeah.
She gave everything up. She even gave up her daughter for the sake of a man.
And now she's on a different boat, and now, she doesn't even have that, just like Mr. Willoughby.
Is it worth it?
Yep.
You know, for Claire. And another thing, and I want to get your opinion about this too, is Fergus, his story, Outlander is many things, but subtle, it is not. Okay. Fergus, talking about Marcelly and saying, I knew from the very moment I wanted to be with her, just like you, Jamie. And Jamie's saying, well, you got to tell her the truth.
Oh my God.
And I'd be like, Jamie, dude, are you serious right now?
Yeah. After last episode. And they get called out on that.
Right.
I loved it. I loved it that these young folk are holding the older folk accountable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have been together for just as long as you guys have. We know what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You come up all in here and cause drama. Marcelly gives sass on the ranks of Jenny Murray. My goodness gracious.
My goodness.
Those two, if they were in a fight, hold on tight, Spider Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to win. And either's going to win. But I actually enjoyed the Fergus talking to Jamie, because Jamie's trying to be like, hi, I'm your acting father. And Fergus's like, yeah, but remember, I've actually been telling the truth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I slept with those girls. I'll tell her tonight. It's no problem.
Yeah, and he does. And it's fine. And this is where I feel like this episode lacks, and why I gave it a number 4 kill rating.
Was the Fergus thing?
Well, I don't care about, I care about Fergus, but I don't care about the relationship. This relationship literally comes out of thin fracking air.
That's how you're supposed to feel, because that's how Jamie and Claire feel. They feel like, what is going on? You're so young. You know nothing, Jon Snow. Let's get out of here.
I will say, and I say this often, and I should stop saying it's like a crutch. In the last script that was posted on Stars, one of the things that was edited out was the fact that Fergus was at Lallybroch and he was there making eyes with Marcelly.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a little bit more indication of this, I think I'd be okay with it. But it's just like, oh, hey, Marcelly, wow, okay, you're in a relationship.
Says the guy who says you're spoon-fed too many things and you come up with all these outlandish theories. Right. Had you seen that, you would have been like, I've got an outlandish theory. Fergus is going to have a crush on Marcelly.
Or if Fergus, when he was with Wee Ian during the whole banging waitresses pot.
Yeah.
Ian being like, hey, you want to like find a... If he said, no, I'm all set. I'm good.
Because like, I want to bang your cousin.
Yeah, because I'm banging your cousin,
no,
bro.
No, he's not.
Well, he's not.
He hasn't petted her yet.
So I feel like this was just out of thin air, and I've been now... This is pushed down my throat.
Oh.
And I just feel like, okay, great. Which is fine. But then we don't spend any time with them. We don't spend anything with them. It's just, you know...
I will tell you, I agree. You got to spend a lot more time on the boat in the book,
mm-hmm.
and you got to be reminded of this in the book, and of their romance, and how awkward it is for them to be kept apart, and how awkward it is for Jamie and Claire to be kept apart. Obviously, they had to cut that out for time's sake, and
sure.
they figured that they would invest that time in the romance between Jamie and Claire, because that's who we really care about. I don't have a problem personally with the Fergus Marcelly. I think it was cute. I think Marcelly is sassafras, and I kind of love it. So I'm okay with that.
Let's take a quick break for a moment, and then we'll continue this conversation, okay? Well, we wanted to remind you guys that this episode was brought to you by Crafty Flutterby Creations. Michelle, the owner, makes these amazing pins that can go on shawls or scarves or hats or cardigans, vests, anything like that. And they're just really, really gorgeous. They're these beautiful pins that just, they are like this indication of a beautiful shine, really, or a good sparkle to your outfit. Really, I just love these pins, man. They're
oh my
just
God,
great.
They're beautiful.
I know. I told you. She has these subtle nods to Outlander with these pins. Like she has like the English rose mm-hmm. as her, you know, her nod to our favorite Sassenach. Or even like the pearl pin mm-hmm. that she has. as a nod to Claire's gorgeous pearl necklaces or necklace from Jamie. Just really gorgeous stuff.
Oh my gosh. You can see all the ways that you can style using these favorite accessories. You can check out the Pinspiration tab on our website. You know, as you were saying, Blake, they look gorgeous on scarves, woven scarves, shawls. They really add that extra little pow, that extra little sparkle, which we all can use this season while you're wearing those scarves anyway.
You need the extra little bit. So go to craftyflutterbycreations.com and use the coupon code OutlanderCast, all one word, for 15% off any purchase.
Okay.
So back to, if you could, my darling, Marcelli. Now, let's just say for the sake of argument, we don't get a lot of time between Fergus and Marcelli. I can get on board with that if I actually have more time with Marcelli, if I actually have some kind of interaction with her between she and Claire, if they had some kind of interaction other than you're a
Can I tell you, just have a little patience.
Right.
Just have a little patience.
I'm just saying. My ultimate point is this. We had this episode called Doldrums, mm-hmm. right? And which is okay. They spend so much time. They spend so much time being still, and we got some great interaction between Jamie and Claire. I just wish that they spent more time with guys like Hayes and Leslie.
I don't want to spend any more time with them. I am all set.
I disagree
with them.
Because I feel like they are the new Rupert and Angus. I feel like we're going to be spending more time. I don't think they're introducing Marcelli and Fergus just for the sake of introducing. Like, they are going to be something in this show going forward. And I feel like these guys, too, are also going to be, like, the new crew. And they're introducing a whole bunch of new characters, like Mr. Willoughby and everything. Let's spend time with those people. We're just sitting with no wind. And don't rush so quickly to get Claire aboard this other ship.
You gotta rush, babe, because there's a journey. It's a journey.
Yeah.
They got a lot to fit in. I would not really worry about changing much about what they put in this episode or didn't have in this episode, aside from Hayes being up there, being a fool, being the Jonah. But once again, they needed that for Willoughby. They needed something to break the tension with not moving forever, the whole boat folklore. I get it. There was a little bit of, we felt like we were stagnant on a boat, but we were supposed to feel that way because we are about to get swept up in an insane journey. And your heart is going to be racing. Your mind's going to be racing. And it don't stop. And this right now, I think, was the writer's way of saying, this is your spaghetti dinner before the big game.
Before the steak comes.
This is what you have to, you need to prepare. You got to carbo load up before your marathon, okay? That's what it is. You got to sit down, you got to take care of yourself, have a good laugh, have a good pasta dinner, because the marathon's tomorrow.
Yes, it makes sense. What did you think about Claire leaving Jamie? It's just like...
It's Claire.
Yeah.
I've got to go help sick, wounded people. And she has to. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a choice. Is there a surgeon here? Yes. Okay, guess what? We rule. You don't.
But I kind of want to be like, she even says it earlier in the episode, we just spent 20 years apart, dude.
I would have liked him to accompany her, even if it's not in Claire's, you know, personality to be like, my husband needs to accompany me. But sure. I would have liked Jamie to be like, I'm going to come with you. I don't know this ship. I don't know these people.
Sure.
Let me please accompany my wife. Mm-hmm. And they probably would have said okay.
You know what I would have liked? And I would say I would have liked Claire. I love that moment when Jamie says, no, you're not going. Like when they both at the same time answer the captain she says, yes, I'll go. And at the same time, Jamie says, no. I kind of would have liked Claire to say, oh, you're going to tell me what to do? Oh, no. I'm definitely going now. And we got what we got. It is what it is. But I would have loved that subversion of expectation.
What was your favorite moment?
Favorite moment? Jeez, I don't know. I don't know. That conversation by the moonlight
right
was really special. because it gives you so much. It gives you so much meat.
They had some really pretty music playing while she's talking about Brie. Mm-hmm. I think the two moments that stood out for me, honestly, were bear moments.
Bear flare.
Bear flare.
Hashtag.
Talking about Brie, and then you do get to hear this gorgeous, gorgeous theme. Listen to it a little bit more. And then the other part that I liked is when Mr. Willoughby was painting his little poetry.
Yep.
Beautiful theme there as well. So
you know what? I also had another favorite moment too, and it kind of reminded me of Moana.
Make way, make way.
It reminded me of Moana because, you know, in Moana, the movie when they're at night and the water is very still and mm-hmm. the boat and the moonlight shining and everything. There was this other great shot, and of course it was a digital shot, so it wasn't really caught, but still, you see the ship from a distance and the sea is still like glass.
Yeah.
Oh, just a gorgeous, gorgeous shot to show you exactly what we've gotten ourselves into here. You know what I mean?
I do.
So, my darling, are you ready? Do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
No. Or
are you ready for the Outlandish Theory of the Week?
Yes, I am.
Want to let you know that this Outlandish Theory of the Week is brought to you by Celtic Eternity. Please visit CelticEternity.com and get 10% off Celtic and Scottish rings with the coupon code OUTLANDICAST. You're getting 15% off with these pins. You're getting 10% off with these Celtic rings.
All your holiday shopping savings.
There it is. Boom. Not done. Forget about it. All right. You ready?
Yes.
All right. So here we go. First, Jared mentioning, oh, the weather is turning. And then we have Iten Cho saying, oh, the rain's coming. And of course, the rain does come. Mm-hmm. My opinion, there's going to be a big storm coming. Big, big, big. And that is going to either keep our title couple separate at the very least, mm-hmm. or make things go very awry for the Artemis or the tortoise, which is the porpoise. Yeah, the porpoise. That's the British man of war ship that Claire is now on with all the people that are sick. So that's one outlandish theory of the week. A big storm is a-coming, okay? But my main outlandish theory of the week is Claire will be given a choice on the porpoise. And I think, and this is where things are going to go right for Claire, and for the story, and it's going to subvert our expectation of what Claire intends to do. Claire right now is on this ship, and she has always and is feeling like she has to heal people. It's been a theme all season. She's constantly said it. She said it at the beginning. She said it again to Jamie a number of times. She even tried to save the dude who tried to kill her. At some point, Claire and the porpoise are going to be near some kind of landfall, and Claire will have a choice. Stay on the porpoise and meet back up with Jamie in Jamaica and keep healing people, or get off the ship and leave.
Go where?
Escape the ship and go to the landfall that she sees somewhere and say, F all these guys. I refuse to help.
To be Dr. Claire anymore?
Yeah. And I feel like she's going to be given this choice, and she is going to choose to subvert expectation. She's going to choose to get off the ship and say, F these guys. I'm not going to heal any of them. Because, again, it's been a theme. So how do you best create drama? Take a theme and then upend it on its head and say, I'm done. I've had it now, and move on. And that's how she's going to end up being reunited with Jamie somehow. Maybe because of a storm. Oh, that's even better idea. Maybe the storm breaks ships up and Jamie ends up on an island with Claire. Maybe I'm going too crazy here. I don't know. But I'm just saying, either way, Claire is going to choose to not heal guys anymore. And she's going to get off the ship and she's going to escape this prison ship that she's on, essentially. And that is my outlandish theory of the week. And I'm sticking to it. Marvin, what are you giving me here?
Interesting.
Charlie, what do you got?
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
Final word, my darling. What do you got?
I'm ready. I'm ready for the season to keep on going.
Yeah, I think this was the calm before the storm. Definitely the calm before the storm.
The pasta dinner before the marathon.
Yes. Oh, you know, I have another idea. This just came to me. They're going to the West Indies, right? Obviously. They're going to go to Jamaica. They found the bones of the lady that was killed in the cave that Dr. Joe talked about mm-hmm. in Jamaica, right? It was in this cave that was in the West Indies, whatever. And then they brought it in so Claire could tell what happened to her, and she touched it and with her magneto powers. She because Claire's a mutant.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Once again, doesn't believe in touching a horseshoe.
The people that Claire went to go see when she came back to Scotland,
the Campbells,
they were going to the West Indies for a rich client.
Yeah. Wait, who were they going for?
They were going for a rich client, someone who was wealthy and who was rich, and they were going to go give her they were going to bring the lady there to tell her fortune.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And remember, he was worried about, how am I going to keep her calm on a ship?
Yes, all of her fits.
Okay, all of her fits. Okay, great. I guarantee, remember how my Lynch theory of the week was that the bones were Galus's bones?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, they are going to see Galus. Those are the bones for Galus. And they are going to see Galus. I don't know why she's rich yet. This is again.
This is a very outlandish.
Take development here, okay? Take development. I'm outlandish theory of the week. Development here. It's not fully fleshed out yet.
Okay.
I'm grasping for straws.
Yes, you are.
But they are going to go see Galus. She is in Jamaica. Those were her bones.
I'm going to give you an interesting.
And they were going to the West Indies, and I'm telling you, this all makes sense. It's all running. It's a rat in my brain on a wheel going. Okay. Take development. I reserve the right to circle back when it best suits my argument.
Good.
All right, my love, are you ready to close it out?
Yes, I am. There's a little part of me that wishes I hadn't read the books so that I can make my own outlandish theories of the week.
But this is the fun part of it, though. You get to look at me. Well, no, you don't get to look at me. You get to stare off.
I don't get to look at you.
So you get to stare off into the screen.
Yeah.
And say, interesting.
I do.
As I make up random stuff.
Totally random, hysterical stuff. It's true. Well, we wanted to let you know that Blake is reading the first book of the Outlander series. If you sit here like I do and say, ugh, interesting.
Blake, shut
interesting.
Up.
Interesting. He should just read the book. Well, believe it or not, he is reading Outlander.
The first book.
You can hear his chapter-by-chapter analysis by becoming a patron.
For as little as $2 per month.
You'd head on over to Patreon, patreon.com, and we have a whole bunch of rewards. We do send out a holiday card to some subscribers. If you are at the Sassenach level or above, you are also going to get a special incentive at minutewithmary.com. Okay, so if you're a Klansman, you get a holiday card, so you're going to want to do that real soon, guys, because I like to mail those out early. And then the Sassenach level, you get a discount, a 10% discount on any minutewithmary.com product. You just have to let me know. So lots of great incentives for our patrons. We do want to thank a bunch of you. Peg, Ann, Bobby, Tracy, Carolyn, Lisa, Meredith, Amy, Christina, Sue, Keelan, Meredith, Liz, Dana, Nikki, Michelle, Tara, Jennifer, Lauren, Heather, and Marilyn. Thank you guys so much. They are at a certain level that I want to make sure that we thank them at the end of each podcast.
Oh, hey, by the way, we forgot. We buried the headline. We're having a finale party.
Yeah, we are.
How do we bury this headline?
Because tickets are really close to being sold out.
I forgot all about this. We're having a finale party where we're watching the finale, having live entertainment food, drink, desserts. Vendors are going to be there. We're going to do the viewing. We're even going to have a live podcast, and it's going to be held at Providence, Rhode Island at the Hilton Hotel. And it's a ticketed event, and the tickets are going very quickly.
You can find it on our Facebook site or in the Clan Gathering. It's, yeah. If you haven't already bought a ticket, hopefully you still can. If you have bought a ticket, super excited to see you in your holiday finest. And I'm pumped. If you do have questions, feel free to reach out on Facebook. I'm losing my voice. So until next time, ladies and gents, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast. I think I need a hot toddy.
I'm just excited for a live podcast in front of an audience.
I think if people...
Like a real life audience, not just Facebook, but like a real people.
It's going to be awesome.
And a live viewing.
You know what's really funny though?
What's that?
Is if you listen to my enthusiasm at the beginning of this podcast episode...
It's waned a little bit.
I don't think it's waned a little.
I was being polite.
I think I've become slow motion. So hopefully by our next episode, I won't be sick, because I think it's actually like happened while I've been podcasting. Guys, we're going to live podcast. We're going to see a bunch of you. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that I got to see a bunch of you in Maryland this past weekend. You guys are amazing. Hopefully Maryland didn't get me sick. Hopefully none of you are sick. But we'll talk to you soon, okay? Bye.
Bye, guys.